I was thinking about a class I took in college as I was preparing, reflecting on the scripture. The class was religion and sex. Yeah. Friends, it was also 30 years ago. That's when I was a freshman in college. That is a sad number for me to remember. So in this class, it will not shock many of you, Paul came up in our discussion of this class. Paul was a topic of conversation. And in this, one of the theses in the class that we really connected with is this idea that Paul was so much about sex and not sex, because Paul was trying to keep these communities from ripping each other apart. And they're like, Paul's like, if you could just stop having sex with each other, lusting after each other, suing each other, if you could just stop having so much want and desire, maybe you would be able to hold together and survive as this new Christian community. I don't know if I agree with that thesis or not, but it was one of the theses that came up in the class. And it struck me, so that there may be no dissension within the body. Feels connected to that. I think Paul does have a word for us. We may also have a word with Paul. We'll see. So in Corinth, they were having more than the usual share of problems in this community. There was a lot going on. I think there were like 15 major issues in this community. I'm only going to talk about one of them. But I do want to mention Corinth also had special challenges. Corinth was actually the most diverse Christian community along several different dimensions. Paul had been unusually successful with wealthy Jewish synagogue leaders in Corinth. And at the same time, two women evangelists had a lot of success with hand workers by the docks. So you have people coming together in this community across economic lines, across racial lines, across religious lines, all trying to make it as a Christian community. It was not going well. And so we get this letter. One of the issues they were having caught my attention as I was listening to the news this week. And the issue was, there were people who were Jewish who were joining this movement, this religious movement. And of course, having been brought up their whole life that some food was forbidden, they did not want to eat that food. They're like, I'm down with this new religion and I'm still not going to eat that food. I've heard my whole life this food is unclean. And there were other members of the community that were giving them a hard time for not eating the food. They were saying, if you're really with Jesus, Jesus said, this food is not unclean anymore. Eat it, eat it, eat it. I don't know if they actually said that. That's what I'm imagining. And Paul's like, no, that's not what any of this is about. I was there. Religious freedom does not mean attack people for what is life-giving to them. Which of course brought me to the Supreme Court decision on Friday. Religious freedom does not mean attack people for what is life-giving to them. And the same words as Paul in this case, it's all wrong. That's all wrong. The freedom, the religious freedom of Jesus, the religious freedom of this country is not about saying, I disagree and you are less than. It's about finding a way to thrive together. Mm-hmm. So there's another Supreme Court decision that I want to talk about as well. And here's where I wonder about the advice that Paul gives us in this text. We also saw this week the overturning of affirmative action for admission to higher education. And in particular, this one little slice, there cannot be race-based affirmative action. There can still be affirmative action if your parents give a lot of money to the institution. There can still be affirmative action if you're particularly good at a sport. But there cannot be affirmative action based on race. And myself and my identity as a white woman, the demographic that's benefited most from affirmative action are white women, like myself. Also, the demographic who has fought most against affirmative action, white women. I had a moment, pardon myself, when I heard that ruling, there was a wish. Maybe we are done. Maybe we have achieved equality. Maybe we can stop. I know that that's not right. And there was a part of myself that felt that. And I think that part of Paul's advice, stop having sex. Stop looking at each other. Stop touching each other. Cover up the parts that have to be covered up. Part of this advice is just shut it all down so that you can get along better. And that's where I think things go pretty sideways. Because shutting it all down, pretending everything is okay when it is not a pathway to thriving in community. I read part of the opinion of Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who wrote, in part, all of the dissenting opinions are well worth reading. Ignoring race will not equalize a society that is racially unequal. What was true in the 1860s and again in 1954 is true today. Equality requires acknowledgement of inequality. And I think that's where I get stuck on Paul's sentence. Those members of the body that we think are less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. I'm not called BS on that. Even when Paul wrote it, friend, this is a stretch. This is a stretch. It's a papering over. It's a word trick to try to pretend that everything is the same. And we can get through our differences that way. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe it's true in Corinth. I don't believe it's true in the United States of America. I don't think it's true in Brooklyn, Gowanus, and St. Lydia's. We are different. And in community, what's nourishing for some of us is poison to others. And if we try to pretend that's not so, we are not being truthful, and we will not thrive together. We will not thrive together. So part of the assignment for this sermon was to talk about how does the scripture speak into my vocation? So far I have not mentioned vocation at all. I'm almost 49. I still do not know what my vocation is. So I turned, my friends, to tarot. I won a tarot set here at the St. Lydia's auction, and I decided tarot was going to be the answer. was super helpful. Strongly recommend. And in this tarot, I asked a question about vocation. There was a bunch of things that came up. And one of them that came up was a card called Empress, which I wanna have in its most expansive, gender fluid essence, as opposed to a gendered being. And this is what it says for Empress. This, the interpretation comes from Little Red Tarot, which I like. Friends, I am like 5 days into tarot. This is the level of expertise you're getting here. This is the level of expertise you're getting. So this is what it says. Empress says, I am here and I love myself. I belong here. There is space for me here. There is space for you too. And I do have a sense that going deeper into the messiness, into the unmentionable parts, into the less honorable parts, whatever we want to call them, taking the clothes off of those parts, going deeper into the place of difference and pain, because living in community can be deeply painful. Being honest about that is the way, is the path to space for everyone. I remember in my 20s, I had the privilege of seeing bell hooks in Chicago. And at that point, All About Love had just been published. And bell hooks says, love is, the table is ready. Come to the feast. There's something of my vocation in that. And I won't get there without looking carefully at the parts of myself that are tougher to see. We're gonna close this portion with a song. Debbie and Jack will lead us in a song. Debbie may not know this yet, but I'll tell you what to do. And then after that, we'll have just a beat of silence. And then we do share the sermon at St. Lydia's. And so you'll be invited to share a story, something that sparked for you in the text or in the words that I shared. So we're gonna repeat the song we shared at the beginning, Come, Come, Whoever You Are. We're gonna repeat that. And we're gonna do it in rounds. So Debbie, if you could anchor one round at your part of the table, and Jack, if you could anchor one round at this part of the table. I don't know if that's the technical word for it, but anchor them. And then let's do it 5 or 6 times. And what I'm gonna encourage you is, as we are singing, what are you offering? What are you inviting? And what are you receiving? And notice what shows up for you.